Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. If there is one thing that I want to make sure is crystal clear as I leave, it's that Jesus loves you. Amen. I know that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand.
I'm kidding. Sit back down. Sit back down.
I have always wanted to do that. You preach just this one-line sermon and then see what happens. And while some of you, I'm sure, would have been thrilled had we left it just at that, well, this is my last sermon here, so I'm going to get my money's worth. So get comfortable. This could take a while. Now, maybe you've heard the story, maybe you were even there that morning, but there's part of this Trinity lore about a story about one Sunday when Pastor Stammel stood up and preached, "There's one thing you need to know, and that's that Jesus loves you. Amen." And then he walked off, and he sat down, and without making a joke of it, without coming back, he continued on with the worship service. He actually gave that one-line sermon. Actually happened here. And I've heard this story from many different people over the years, lifelong members who were there that day, and I've heard it described as the most impactful, most meaningful sermon that they'd ever heard. And as a fellow pastor, I always admired his courage to stand up, to boil down the message to such a simple statement, and then unashamedly preach it, letting it stand on its own as an unmovable cornerstone of the church and of your faith. It takes guts as a preacher to do that. I don't know if anyone since Pastor Stammel could have delivered that sermon and gotten away with it. His courage on that day always impressed me. And it must have been about a year ago that I was talking with Pastor Cron about his time here at Trinity. We were talking about the particulars of preaching to Trinity, and he starts to laugh and he tells me a story. See, one day Pastor Stammel and Pastor Cron were here leading worship, and lo and behold, both of them thought the other was scheduled to preach that morning. And it wasn't until that service that they realized that neither of them had a sermon ready. So Pastor Stammel gets up into the pulpit full of confidence and says, "There's one thing you need to know, and that's that Jesus loves you. Amen." And I'll be honest, when I heard Pastor Cron tell the story, it kind of shattered my illusion of this bold and courageous Ed Stammel wrestling all week preaching this risky sermon. But I'm glad that I know, as you know, as Paul Harvey always said, the rest of the story. Because the story, it has a moral, a teachable lesson that I will always remember. Sometimes you put an incredible amount of work and preparation into something only to have it fall short of your goals. We all know that that happens. But sometimes without warning, God puts you unexpectedly in just the right place at just the right time with just the right words. God uses unique situations like this to do things like preach the most impactful sermon someone's ever heard. And sometimes I think he does that just to remind us who's really in control. In moments like that, life seems to be jumping off the rails and taking a whole new direction. Remember that God knows the plan. When you have one of those moments when, like, two pastors are sitting there looking at each other, "Me? No, I thought you had the sermon." when you have those moments, trust in God. One of the biggest problems that I see today is anxiety. I've seen crippling anxiety in people during my time as pastor, both kids and adults. Even whole institutions can suffer from it. I watched it happen when Pastor Zito, Pastor Filipek, and Pastor Poles all took calls. I've heard anxious worries about my departure. So in choosing scripture readings for today, I wanted to impart some divine insurance from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus himself preaches to us. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Our Lord knows our worries. He knows our situation. And yet his advice to all of us is, do not be anxious. The Father knows our needs and will care. Don't worry about the future. Plan for it. Work for it. But don't worry about it. Jesus says, which of you, by worrying, by being anxious, can add a single hour onto his life? None of us. Not a single one. Don't let your worries consume you. Trust in the Lord. He will care for you. He will care for his church. He always does. He always will. Always and forever. It doesn't matter who your pastor is. Doesn't matter who your leadership is. Doesn't matter what kind of organ you purchase. God will care for his church. He always does. He always will. Struggles may happen, but God will lead his people through them. We have the promise in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Listen, there are a lot of things that I could stand up here and talk about today. Things that I've learned, experiences that I've had over the years, relationships that have grown. Undoubtedly, we could tell stories all day about this place. Because leaving Trinity, it's not easy. This is home. You are my family. But I am so proud of what we have accomplished together. Sure, we are all sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. We have all made mistakes. But I am honored to have been counted as one of Trinity's saints and sinners for the past 7.5 years. Together we have shared the gospel, worshiped our Lord, and have been blessed by his sacraments. And that is a gift. It's a gift that you can take, and you can take that gift and give it to the most important person in the world. Do you know who that most important person in the world is? There's a joke that starts, the Pope goes to New York, and he's picked up by a limousine, and he looks at the beautiful car, and he says to the driver, he says, you know, I hardly ever get to drive. Would you mind if I drive for a while? And the driver is understandably hesitant and says, I'm sorry, but I don't think I'm supposed to do that. I could lose my job. But the Pope persists. Please, it would really mean a lot to me. So finally, the driver lets up, and he says, oh, all right, I guess I can't say no to the Pope. So the Pope takes the wheel, and he is a speed demon. He punches the gas, and he whips it up to 100 miles an hour in a 45-mile-an-hour zone, and a policeman notices and pulls him over. And the cop walks up, and he asks him to roll down his window, and he's startled and surprised to see that he pulled over the Pope. And the young officer asks him to wait a minute. And he goes back to his patrol car and he radios the chief. He says, "Chief, I have a problem." And the chief says, "Well, what sort of problem?" "Well, you see, I pulled this guy over for driving way over the speed limit, but it is somebody really important to the car." And the chief asks, "Important like the mayor?" "No, more important than that." "Important like the governor?" "Way, way more important than that." "Important like the president?" The officer says, "More." Exasperated, the chief asks, "Who's more important than the president?" The officer says, "Honestly, I don't know. I don't recognize the guy, but he must be important because the Pope is his driver." See, sometimes we don't recognize the most important person in the world, even if they're right there in front of us. But they're easy to spot. See, maybe you think that I'm going to say that Jesus is the most important person in the world. No, not in this world. So you think maybe I'm going to say something sappy like, "Love yourself, you're the most important person in the world." No, Jesus doesn't tell us to love ourselves above all else. He doesn't even say, "Love me as you love yourself." Jesus seems to be concerned with love your neighbor as yourself. "Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." Listen, I know that you love God. That's why you're here. You wouldn't be here if you didn't have that seed of love for God in your heart. But us poor sinners, we often have a hard time with that whole love your neighbor thing. But it's an important part of our walk with God. And it all comes down to trusting in the Lord, I think. If you trust in the Lord and accept that He is looking out for you and is going to care for you, your anxiety levels, they start to plummet. Your walls that you've built up, they start to crumble and they fall. And you can open up and you can trust your neighbor. You can love your neighbor. Unless you trust the Lord, you can never truly be comfortable with your relationships with other people or secure in your faith. It all begins with trusting in God. If God loves you enough to send His one and only Son to die on the cross to forgive your sins, then He loves you enough to get you through the trials and the tribulations of this life. If Jesus loves you enough to lay down His own life for you, then He loves you enough to walk beside you every day. Never doubt God's love for you. God's love is eternal and unbreakable. If there is one thing that I can leave you with today, if there is one thing that I hope that my ministry here has built to, one thing that you can take away from this 7.5 year friendship, it's this. God will always love you. And so do I. Thank you for a tremendous ministry together. Amen. And I know that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will always guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.